You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Waiting on Pete Carroll, who should be with us momentarily here on Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710. Of course, the big news coming out yesterday that the Seahawks had agreed to a deal with Geno Smith. Today is the deadline for the franchise tag. I don't think we thought that that was a likely weapon for them with Geno, but it was a deadline. And as you mentioned, those do spur actions, and something got done yesterday. Initial reports, 3 years, $105 million. As we dug into that more and more reports came out today, it seems like that's a bit of a stretch. Yes, it could get up to that, but a lot of those dollars are in incentives, and the guarantee sounds a lot closer to $40 million, which is lower than 40% of that total number.
How about these, just stepping back, how about these 364 days? I mean, how about them? Like, what is more, as we sit here today, just more astounding that 1 year ago tomorrow Russell Wilson was traded. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like this Geno deal, I mean, that Russell one was even more like shocking. Nobody, the late great John Clayton was like, there's no way. And most of the consensus was like, come on. And most of the callers were like, that's never going to happen.
If you had asked me a year ago, which is more shocking, Russell Wilson getting traded or Geno Smith getting this much money?
Correct.
I think I know what I would have said. Yeah. It would have been this that would have been more surprising at the time. But we do have the coach with us, and he's going to walk us through a big deal that was made yesterday. Coach Carroll, good morning.
What's
How
up?
Are you?
Wow, we got everybody in the house.
Here. Everybody's
this is
here.
That's what happens.
Everybody.
It's
even,
a big day, right? Even. You're committing to a quarterback. We're moving forward. How did this get done?
Yeah, really well. Was done really well. Everybody stayed really, on point. Communication was great. The focus was there to get something done, and so we got it done in timely fashion. We're ahead of free agency, which we needed to do, and really everybody's thrilled about it. Owner, Jody was great about it all the way through. She gave John the freedom to do what he needed to do to make the deal, and then in visiting with her yesterday, she was really pleased and excited. She took a lot out of Geno's accomplishments in last year, and was really proud of him and excited for the future and moving on. So everybody's connected on it. So it's a good deal. And a good deal for our club. And I think it sends a really good message too to everybody on the outside. This is a good place, and things are going in the right direction, and we're fired up about it.
We see the headline yesterday. From the day that we talked to you last after the 49er that Monday, and you said we're bouncing right into this offseason, right? Amazing draft capital, and we'll get to that in a little bit, and these decisions to make. When we talked to you that day to, about 2 months later, how much work goes into this Geno deal? Is it an everyday thing for you? Is it every week? Is it just kind of the behind the scenes, I guess, process to get this done?
Well, really give credit where credit is due. I'm riding along with John on this one, and he and Matt Thomas were, on it constantly to make sure that we had a schedule and the communication was excellent, and ongoing, and there was no voids, because there's in these kinds of negotiations, the spaces can really cause issues, both Geno's representation and our guys just didn't let that happen.
What do you mean the spaces?
Well, the time frames, because it's just the quiet times, and the minds start rolling and everybody's thinking this or thinking that, all the alternatives, what's going on, that can cause problems. But we were very sensitive to making it a great process. And so it was ongoing. Yeah, it was on the whole time. We were always talking about it. And it's meaningful in so many areas, working together so that we would have an opportunity to continue to compete, to bring guys to this club and get guys on our team in the locker room has been at hand, and now we're really rolling. We can plan, but until we knock the big one in the boat, and the other things that happened, Jason was a really big deal. Getting Ballore was a really big deal to us. Phillip Haynes was those were all really significant steps along the way that were all planned, and they've come off like we hoped. And so now there's a whole next sequence of things that are going to come together. And so here we go.
What is it about Geno that made you want to commit to him?
All of the confidence in the world he gave us. by the way he handled himself. I think, you know, it's not the physical part of it. It's really the other side of it. His view, his perspective throughout was so clear and consistent, and he was so confident, and he backed it up, you know, he backed it up with his words, and he backed it up with his actions, and his teammates know, you know, every aspect of it. It just worked out really, really well. And this was hard for him. This is a huge challenge of a lifetime, and he came through. And to see him handling it so well, we marveled at that. But then he never wavered, and so it just gave us all the confidence to continue on.
Can you win a Super Bowl during Geno Smith's contract?
Heck yeah, we could. Heck yeah, we can. He's going to do his part. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of stuff we have to get done. We have a lot of decisions to make. This extraordinary draft coming up has been ongoing too, and we haven't left that topic either. You know, that's been ongoing. So there's multiple topics, like a lot of balls in the air at the same time. You know, let the music play and let's be dancing. Let's do the whole thing. Well, that's what's going on. But the focus right now, obviously, is continuing the evaluations for the draft, but free agency is at hand.
You know, you mentioned that word confidence, and I think trust as well. Like, you know, to play that position, you got to just gain the trust of your teammates. You got to gain the trust of the staff. We talked to you every Monday, you know, during the season, and there were moments after moments where it's like, man, he's just getting it, and he's just doing the right thing through the ups and the downs and the accountability and everything else. But was there a moment or two that stood out to you as you kind of look in the rearview last year and go, yeah, okay, yeah, that's another big step in the trust. Yeah, another big step.
I think it was after game two. I think I might have said something to you guys, but that's when he's going to be able to do it. You know, you could get that feeling, so let's go.
And that was in San Francisco? So Denver to open, right, in San Francisco.
It was just 2 weeks into it, we just knew that he could carry out what we were trying to get done, and he was confident about it, and he was handling it. He was handling himself in front of the team and all of that. You could just see that, you know, Geno was going to have a chance to have a really good run at this thing.
You mentioned free agency. How flexible can this deal allow you to be in free agency?
We have some flexibility. We don't have a lot, but we have some flexibility. We have to be really smart, really judicious about every step of the way here. We're excited about it because it's just about ready to kick this thing off.
Can you help me with some of the theory or the philosophy behind that? I mean, we see these teams that just seem like every year they can pile player after player after player, and their cap goes up and up, and eventually sometimes they have to pay the piper years down the road. You guys don't seem to go down that. Is that a philosophical decision?
We're a little bit more contained than that, and we're trying to, you know, make really good decisions along the way and still compete. And to do that, we have to be patient. You know, we have to take our shots here when they come. We don't want to be frenzied entering this first week of free agency, because that's where you can make huge mistakes. You make huge commitments to make decisions. You got to go for it. And so, you know, we're going to work our way through it. Notice how many players keep coming off rosters and stuff. It's happening. There's a real attrition rate, and that we have to be available for those moments too. So, you know, we're going to be wise about it, hopefully, and make really good decisions that are going to fit us. We're deep into that, and I can't talk about any of it, but we're deep into it right now, and we've been working on this for weeks, so it's an exciting time that's coming up.
With this Geno deal, just the last couple things, because the numbers are starting to come out, and we're starting to see the actual, not just the headline, but the actual numbers to it. It feels like there's a bunch of incentives that he built into this, kind of like his deal last year, where he met, I think, every one of them and doubled his salary because of that. How important was that in structuring this deal from your side, and equally getting him to buy into that side, that this will still be a pretty incentive-laden deal?
Yeah, when you guys get your chance and you really dig in, you'll see that it is, you know, leaning that way. We're counting on him coming through and doing the things that he was able to do last year. And if he does that, he's going to get rewarded. And we know that if he's able to come back and do that, he's going to have a great season, and we're going to be in great shape. We're going to have a real chance to be at our best. So it is heavily structured that way. And you know, I know he's gambling a little bit in that sense on himself.
What does that say about him?
He's clear about it. They were, you know, this was part of it. And throughout, so it's a really strong part of the contract, and I think that's maybe why the ownership is so happy with it too. If you perform and you get it done, and you know, gladly we would reward, you know. And so I think that was a real combination of thinking that worked out for us.
When we talk about committing, we're talking to Pete Carroll here. When we talk about committing this contract to Geno Smith, does it prevent you? Does it allow you to draft a quarterback as well and continue to look towards the future?
That opportunity is absolutely there. We could do whatever we need to do, you know, which is a whole nother, you know, discussion of what's really exciting. And, you know, the coaches are working at it and the scouts are working at it to try to position this thing. When there's only, you're at five, this is different than we're used to seeing. You know, this is really fun because you can pretty much predict what's going to happen with, you know, four different choices, you know. So which one is it? It's we're alive on all, you know, and all guns are blazing here.
How good is this draft class?
It's interesting class. There's a lot of good players. It's not as obvious on the top of just the great guys that you got to have, you know, 10 picks off the top. That's not as obvious. There's a bunch of good players, and so it's kind of how you want to go. And we're going to see what the quarterback interest is early, you know, see what, if teams are going to go get it, you know, to get the QB that they want. These guys are really talented. They look great at the combine. They were great in the interviews. They really did well by themselves, and so it didn't make it any easier for us. You know, that there's no easy decisions here, but that's okay. This is fun stuff.
Salk asked me earlier, what do you think about Gino? What would Gino think if they took a quarterback and took one pretty high? And I'm like, well, I think knowing Gino and even this deal, like betting on himself to a degree, I don't think Gino would mind too much.
Yeah, just know Gino. And how's he going to take it? Whatever we do, he's going to take it in stride. He's not going to worry about anybody. And this is, as a reward to what he's done, even solidifies his confidence and understanding how much trust we have in him. So, you know, and if that is to happen, that is a choice for the long haul, the future, and all of that. We'll see what happens.
This feels like a QB class, and, you know, I was just showing Salk some game tape earlier of, you know, I don't know, this kid out of Florida that's 6'4", 244.
There's a guy in Florida?
Runs 4.48 and jumped 49 inches. This is a draft.
It kind of reminds you of yourself, right?
Yeah, you know, we compared and contrasted. I had him by an inch.
4'4".
I was 6'5".
You were a half inch taller than him.
He has me by about a second. I think I ran 5'4". He ran 4.4, so a little different in that way. But this QB class in particular feels is like traitsy, right? A term that the scouts and these analysts love to use, like check that box, check that box, check that box. They feel as a group maybe to have more of those physical traits than some of the previous draft classes. Is that fair?
I don't know about that one. I don't know.
You haven't paid attention to those
previous
classes.
We haven't been
classes.
In those deals, you know, those kinds of opportunities. So it's, I can't tell you as clearly as this class, but these guys are all, they're singling themselves out in their individual ways that they have, you know, that it's giving you some choices of style, you know, and a background, you know, these guys are smart. They're so grooved. I mean, they've just learned so much football. To hear them in their meetings, they just rip off protections and concepts and routes and adjustments and line of scrimmage and changing the plays and all of the things that they know how to do.
Different than the 90s combines?
Not calling the huddle as much, but they're doing everything.
Right.
It's just as at the tip of their tongue, you know, to control whatever they need to control. And they're so fluent. It's really impressive. And these are just college kids. You know, they're just getting here, you know, to know as much as they know. It just knocked us out.
Pete, it was a year ago tomorrow that you guys finalized the trade for Russell Wilson and changed the direction of this franchise considerably. What have you learned since then?
Well, what have I learned? That sometimes you got to make tough decisions and you got to go for it. And you got to, you know, that, I mean, that just reemphasized to me that sometimes you got to just say, what the heck, and go, you know, with really a good commitment of people and connection with the people that have to, you know, and bring in the input for those decisions, you can make good, solid choices. And it worked, you know, it worked out tremendously for us. And that's why we're sitting in the position for this draft. And we have some funds to work free agency because of it. And we're excited about it too. We've had a great deal of excitement about this whole thing that's taking place. And so we're looking ahead and we didn't have to rebuild to do that. And I know that it may have, I didn't convince a lot of people of that. I kept telling them, but we didn't have to do that mode, you know, and we were able to go for it didn't quite get it, but we were close.
So the years leading up to that decision, because I'm guessing it wasn't made like a year ago today, and then the next day you traded Russell Wilson. There's a lot of conversation, a lot of thought, and everything that went into that moment. Do you have any, I don't want to say regrets, but anything that you would do differently if you could go back to the previous few years leading up to that decision? Is there anything you would do differently?
Yeah, there's some stuff. I don't think I need to account for it all, but there's stuff along the way that we might have tried to follow the essence and the facts of what was going on more than kind of the hype. You know, we got caught up in some of the hype of it all, and that we could have done that a little bit better, I think, and everybody would have prospered. Everybody would have prospered. All in all, you know, we had a great run, you know, and we won a lot of games, and had a lot of success, and there was a lot of excitement, and there was always hope in that we could do stuff and we could win. You know, we won a lot of games, but it's really hard to get back to that darn Super Bowl. You know, that's the whole prize, and unfortunately, we couldn't quite get there. We might have been able to maneuver our way to stay closer to that, you know, and those maybe. Then we went to the playoffs a couple of years right after that too, right? Mm-hmm. And so any one of those years right in there, you know, there's some stuff that we could have done that would have kept us on track. It would have been cool, but to just be where we were was special. And just look how it goes, you know. And it's difficult. The Rams have had a really hard time, you know, responding to it. So I think that we may not have captured all of those years as much as well as I'd like.
Well,
to
and
think.
I'm sure you've learned quite a bit from that and making the decisions that you're making now. You know, we've heard some of your ex players, et cetera, and talking about those years, talk about accountability, and we've heard sort of talk of from your side almost strategically accommodating some of the things your quarterback wanted to do. Is that what you mean when you talk about things that could be done differently?
I strategically accommodate a lot of players. I was doing that the whole time, and this was a very worthwhile effort to be made because these guys deserved it. They deserved the treatment. They deserved the mentality and the way we dealt with stuff to keep them at their best. That was the great challenge, is to keep everybody functioning at a really high level. And the attention got distracted at times. But, I mean, there's a lot of – let's go back and just look at the individual stories I was working with. You know, we had a lot of guys that deserved a lot of attention, a lot of focus to keep them at the height that they were performing at. And then eventually it starts to move. You know, the guys get older, and it's hard to hold on to that edge and all that. But that's the thing I like – when I go back, I wish I could tweak a couple little things here and there and keep it a little bit tighter and a little bit better.
Is it tweaking the way you coached or tweaking some of the decisions you guys made as an organization to keep people around?
All of that. And not so much to keep people around, just to keep them going at their best, to find the way to keep them at the top of their game, you know, and keep it all mixing well and all that, and making the right choices as guys transitioned out. You know, that's a big challenge. That's a challenge that I had never faced in coaching. You know, I'd never been there before. In college, 5 years are gone, you know, and okay, that's it. And years before, there wasn't enough years. We got into generational football, you know, and we had to deal with those factors. And that was the first time figuring that out. I think I'm better at the thought of that now, and that I would love that challenge again, you know, as I look back. So, but that was a new deal.
I think the report came out while you guys were at the combine with Russell Wilson and the history and the things that he may or may not have done, because he refutes a lot of what was put out there of him wanting, you know, you and John to be let go. And you said, I'm going to hang with him. I'm going to hang with him. And I think we talked the next day, like, your ability to hang with a lot of these personalities over the years, and you just continue, whether they, you know, flip you off on the field or they scorch earth on the way out, you just continue to hang. How and why?
How well will you hang with your kids? You know, if your kids, however they handle life and they deal with their changes and their challenges, are you going to bag on those guys because, you know, and your son or your daughter because they say something or do something or get together with the wrong person or take the wrong job or sell the wrong house or whatever it is, you know? I mean, if you love them, you love them. And you're going to look for them to come back around. And if you give them the chance by demonstrating your unconditional thought to them, maybe you can help them find that too. And what I have uncovered in my time here is our guys come back, and they come back to us strong, and they come back to us with gratitude and appreciation and still an attitude, which I love, you know. That's okay, and we don't have to agree on everything, you know, but we went through it together, and when this is what happened, and you know, and we'll take what we got, you know, and hopefully learn from it and make better the next time around, you know. So it's pretty clear to me, this is not the big challenge to hang with people. You know, these guys gave us everything they had, and they willingly went for it in every way that they could, as best as we could. And that, to me, how could I not hang with that? You know, that's all I need. I don't need nothing more than that. So
you do seem to sort of equate coaching and parenting a fair amount, and it makes sense. We talked to Scott Service. I think he oftentimes says similar things. There's got to be a lot of, you know, in common between coaching players and parenting your kids. one challenge, though, is there does sometimes come a time to move on from players.
That's right.
And if you've treated them as a child and you've treated them as a father figure, et cetera, does that make it harder for them to accept the fact that, hey, this is going to come to an end and it's not going to always be exactly
First off, I didn't like what you said. We treat them as a child because I don't want
fair. I don't mean it like that.
I know that. Yeah, I know that. I just don't want to accept that one. But, I've thought and I've clearly come to the point where if a guy's got to get let go, or he's got to get cut, or you got to tell him, I want to be the guy to tell him. And if sometimes it doesn't always work out exactly the way I'd like, but I would like to be there for the hard stuff too. And so, who would better feel their way through that moment than I can do it? That's why I want to be there. I don't want to. And so when it doesn't separate well, it pisses me off that I didn't get it done properly. But the intent is always to, okay, let's talk through it. Boom. KJ and I, with this, a great illustration. KJ and I sat in the locker room in the weight room one day and talked through all this stuff, and we looked at each other and we knew we were on it. And it wasn't the best stuff that we had decided was going to come about, but yet we had done it heart to heart, and it was a beautiful thing. And so we haven't lost beat. We haven't lost step at all, and that's what I'm hoping for. It doesn't always work out that way, but that's okay. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm that's how I'm going to try to get it done.
And on the flip side of that, here in the next week or two, free agency begins, a new league year begins, you probably get a chance to recruit. So we're talking about the tail end of it.
We'll be recruiting a little bit now.
Yeah.
I kind of like that,
Do you enjoy that end of it a little bit more?
Heck yeah, I do. What I wind up telling guys, this is, we're like this, we're like that, this is what you can expect. And then I say, okay, but I'm going to stop talking about it. I'm going to prove it to you when you get here. And I'll show you. So get here so we can prove it to you. It was the same thing in the living rooms, in recruit, okay, I can tell you how good this all is. You get here, I'm going to prove it to you. And then I'm going to remind you that it turned out like we said. And stick it to you a little bit, If you doubt me now, anyway.
We've never seen that side of you, sticking it to you side, over the course of doing these interviews for, what is it, 13 years now. How different will your defense look next year compared to what we saw this year?
We'll see. We'll see how we do. We've got we've got some big decisions to make, and we've got to get better. We got to play better. We transitioned from our scheme not as tightly as I wanted to, and so since the day it was over, we've been on it. And talking about stuff we're focusing on, man, I've been on it, man, and I'm really excited about with our guys and our coaches and for our players to really tighten the thing, so it's really really to the point where it can be great and we can play great football. There's going to be some decisions made. We got to get some guys come to us to help us out. We've got some guys banged up that are coming back. We'll see how that goes. My intention and focus is on that as much as anything we're doing.
Do you anticipate filling Sean Desai's role? I know he wasn't a position coach per se.
Yeah, matter of fact, last night I secured that. We'll wait till we announce it because I don't know where we are in the formalities of that. But we did hook up with a guy last night that we're really excited about, that our coaches have worked with before. He's been in the scheme, been in various schemes that will really help us. Really, I can tell you that Carl Scott is going to take a bigger role, and he'll do a great job with the passing game and fill that that kind of the immediate spot. That way, he'll be the senior assistant in passing.
And this is different than the pass rush specialist that was also added.
That's another thing I'm really excited about. Where do you guys see BT Jordan get after it? Hey, you can coach him up now. he's got. You can pull him up. He's on YouTube all over the place with all the guys he's worked out through the interviews that we were going through, and the phone calls that we got since that word has gotten out. He's got his lines out in the water now. He's worked with a lot of people, and a lot of people love what he does and what he brings. So I think it's a really special element.
Well, with
our young guys too. Daryl coming on and Mafe showing his stuff, and of course Chenna had a good year. Bruce had a good year on the edge. We had nice stuff going on there, and there's some options in the draft too. Coming up, so he's going to be a big part of it. So I'm excited.
You guys got a busy couple of months ahead of you.
Oh man.
These next 2 months will be fun.
It has not been not busy. It's been on the whole time. Just like you said, the going to work on the defensive scheme stuff and connecting the things we want to connect, that's that was immediate, you know. So there hasn't really been downtime. It's been pretty fun.
We could sit here and talk to you all morning, but we gotta run. Okay. We gotta pave the way
for
Bump and Stacy. No, we gotta give up.
I got another 30 minutes.
Michael Bumpus has to get on the air. I can hear him clamoring. Stacy needs
stick
to
around.
Get on the air.
They got questions.
They'll probably
for
talk
you
to
too.
Me too.
Call me Bump.
We will be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. and we will have Brock's buddy
Matt Stinchcomb,
SEC Network, going to join us tomorrow. I don't know, there might be some SEC guys in the draft this year. Maybe even some that throw the ball a little bit. So that's tomorrow. We'll see you guys at 6 a.m. Until then, the hay
is in the barn.
See you, everybody.